The views and opinions of the Dr. Kent Show are those of the hosts and guests only. They do not represent the opinions of KFNX staff or management. Dr. Kent holds a Ph.D., a doctorate, and a doctor of philosophy in psychology with an emphasis in industrial organizational psychology. The advice and expertise presented is generic in nature and draws upon more than two decades of experience in mental health services across a wide variety of settings. The Dr. Kent Show is provided for entertainment and educational purposes only. For diagnosis and treatment, please see your own personal doctor of medicine. For callers, nothing presented implies the establishment of a relationship, professional or otherwise. Dr. Kent is the developer of positive projective psychology.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show. Thanks for joining me this weekend, Saturday, the day after the hurricane hits. Okay, I don't suppose people in Houston are going to be listening too much to me, or Galveston. Oh, man, what a deal it is down there. I don't think I've ever seen such a big hurricane in my life. Anyhow, we've got quite a show this week, and some of you are going to ask, who has sent me this email? I sent out probably 4,000 messages, pretty much the same message. And the titles, well, there was a slight difference between a couple sets of titles, but the title was basically, "The Second Dr. Kent Show Calls for the Immediate Resignation of Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano." Now, we're going to get into that, and we're going to do a poll. I want to know what your opinion is. You know, I've got no power. I've got no authority. I'm just a voice here, a voice literally in the desert. You know, booming maybe, or at least squeaking out from Phoenix, Arizona. If you want to be part of the show and take part in the poll, the number to call here locally is 602-277-5369. Of course, that's 602-277-KFNX, 277-5369. And toll free, if you're streaming about the country and listening, welcome, of course, and especially want to welcome the troops abroad if they might happen to be listening to the show here. And I've got to apologize because we're not doing a very good job on the home front of protecting the homeland while you're away. But hopefully we want to change things, and this show is, well, it's geared towards that, I think. Toll free, 866-536-1100. That's 866-536-1100.
The views and opinions of the Dr. Kent Show are those of the host and guest only. They do not represent the opinions of KFNX staff or management. Dr. Kent holds a Ph.D., a doctorate, and a doctor of philosophy in psychology with an emphasis in industrial organizational psychology. The advice and expertise presented is generic in nature and draws upon more than two decades of experience in mental health services across a wide variety of settings. The Dr. Kent Show is provided for entertainment and educational purposes only. For diagnosis and treatment, please see your own personal doctor of medicine. For callers, nothing presented implies the establishment of a relationship, professional or otherwise. Dr. Kent is the developer of positive projective psychology.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome to the Dr. Kent Show. Well, it was quite a shock. I got held up in traffic there, and as I listened to my own show announcement going out, I had to start laughing. It just cracked me up. I mean, you know, I never thought I'd be in traffic listening to myself on the radio, and of course I come in, and it's the old show playing, and I got to be honest, I don't like the sound of my own voice. I had mastoiditis as a child, and I was supposed to be deaf by the time I was 12. I kind of fooled them, though, I guess. And I think as a result of that, my hearing is not good. I can see the call-in screen right now. It's not quite right, I'm going to guess, because my voice sounds smooth and raspy at different times in my own head. Okay, I know we can make a lot of jokes about that, hearing voices. All right, great. But the fact is that, I've got my hearing today. I'm real glad for that. Now, I'm going to have to start this show off just a little bit differently, because I want to share with you a little technique that I came up with back when times were really tough for me. And that was that I had to develop an attitude of gratitude. I mean, I was really down on my luck. Gotten chased off the North Slope, fired from my job by doing my job. When you're working in the positions that I've worked in, you're required to make reports, and I made a report as required. The state troopers in Barrow didn't appreciate it much, nor did my supervisors. But anyway, it was a really rough time for me, and I didn't have anything. I didn't even have a place to live. About 6 weeks, it was pretty rough. But what I realized was that as rough as it was, I had some things going for me. I mean, and I think that's what we all need right now. You've got to be able to look at the bright side. And if you can't, well, I guess a lot of us have that difficulty. I have that problem, too, because, frankly, today I'm very angry. I know I don't sound it. I've been pretty depressed and bummed out. The world situation's bothering me. The bailout is not a bailout. I mean, they just sold us down the road. It's really pretty bad. We're going to get into that. And if you do want to call in and get a little bit of airtime here and tell us how you feel about the bailout, give a call. I'm not going to repeat the number but one time here at the beginning of the segment here, but 602-277-5369. Anyhow, as I was meandering there for a little bit, I brought in three books that I've read, and I wanted to cover these just a little bit for you. But I still have to recommend that book, the second book, At the Federal Reserve, The Creature from Jekyll Island by Griffin. That book is just phenomenal, and I'm gonna make some suggestions, too. One is, we're going to have to start becoming grateful with what we have today. Now, back when I was down and out on my luck, and it was pretty bad, I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but, you know, I had to sit there, and in order to cheer myself up, I had to ask myself, you know, what do you have going today? Well, okay, let's see. All right, I've had a shower, I've shaved, I got clean clothes on. Man, I'm not starving, I'm eating, I'm warm, I'm comfortable. I actually sat and dwelled on each facet of those because, you know, I mean, you feel kind of grungy if you haven't been able to have a shower. And if you don't have clothes, well, that fit well, if you don't have good clean clothes, that's a problem too. But you try going without showering for a couple of days and without putting on clean clothes for a couple of days and see how you feel. So I dwelled on little things like that. Now, this is important because what I needed to develop when I was not that young and what I failed to develop was a good sense of delayed gratification. I spent good money learning this lesson. And it was a private lesson, and it took a long time, and I still think that I'm learning it, but even though I've learned it, it's time to relearn that lesson. And when it came down to doing an internship and just barely surviving, and I mean, I was making about enough money that if I didn't have the car I would have had, I qualified for food stamps. It was that bad, and a lot of the people I was serving were making far more money on the dole than I was on my internship, and that time I said to myself, well, okay, at the time I didn't have furniture, I was living out of boxes. Okay, fine. So I came up with another strategy, and this wasn't dwelling on so much the benefits of what I had, but I decided to ask myself, because it was pretty rough. And I was living on savings, spending probably $500 a month from savings in addition to the internship stipend, and it just wasn't much money. I decided that the strategy was really simple. Well, what can I do without today? So that was kind of nice because I knew I was going to do without a Porsche, a Mercedes-Benz. I knew I was going to do without, having furniture. I mean, I lived out of boxes and the clothes were hanging in the closet and, mattress was on the floor. Mattress was in good shape. apartment was somewhat clean. I think back now, I wonder how the heck I cleaned the apartment. I don't know. I don't know how I did that, but oh well, some things I can't remember, and I'm thankful for that. I brought in three books. All right. I'm going to cover one of these right now, and this is Randy Pausch's last lecture, and I'm going to be critical of his book. I like it, but there's one thing that I don't like in here. I don't know if I can find the page before we get to the break, but, you know, there's one seriously flawed aspect in here, and I don't like the influence he's had with this book, although I've got to tell you, I have to overall recommend it. And I'll see if I can find that during the break, because I want to cover it exactly. But, you know, one of his chapters is show gratitude. And I think that's an important thing for all of us. I think this idea of telling the truth always is a good idea, to tell the truth, you know, to build credibility. He's got a lot of nice short things here. The most difficult one for myself is the filing system. I have my papers filed on the floor trying to put them away right now, and it's the most difficult thing in the world for me to face, which is probably why I've been bummed out. I've been working on papers for 3 days. Not much fun. If you've read Randy Pausch's book, looked at his lectures, you can give a call in if you want to discuss that a little bit. I'm going to catch you on the backside of this one. I've got two other books. One's by Ron Paul, which I just finished today, and the other one's by Philip Howard. The Revolution Manifesto by Ron Paul is excellent. You got to read this book. And I think The Death of Common Sense is a really good one, too. That's by Philip Howard. All right, I'm going to catch you on the backside of this. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome to Group Therapy with Dr. Kent. I'm going to toss out a bunch of ideas at you and try a bit of a shotgun approach. I'm a little bit disappointed, but let me start off first with apologizing. I didn't realize last time we were on the air that I wouldn't make it last weekend. There's a football schedule, and when I signed the contract, nobody told me about that. And, well, 3 weeks ago I was told that the game was scheduled for last weekend and been canceled and I'd have a show, so last week I gave you all bad information and told you I'd be on the air, and of course I was not on the air. My understanding is there's going to be some more interruptions. There are, whatever. Correct myself. I find it's grossly irritating to, you know, not be advised about that in advance, because I really would like to present a time and a show that you can depend upon so you can tune in and count upon, you know, catching whatever I'm doing here, and perhaps you might have saved something for the week, and you're looking forward to, you know, to bringing it up. We're hearing something new, but it's kind of hard to do it when we're not dependable like that. So I've got to work on that. But frankly, at the time I started this, the economy was quite a bit more robust. Actually, the economy's fine. I'd like you to all think about this in a different way. The system's broken. I mean, it is so broken that no matter what they're doing right now, remember that this is probably going to be the best days. These are probably, there I go with that singular verb again. These are probably the best times we're going to see. You and I can complain about whatever's going on, but I mean, I saw gas below $3 a gallon. It's still too much money. The only reason it's gone down is because the Republicans in the Congress shoved through that offshore drilling for us here on the continental shelf. But, you know, the enemy within the country, I really believe, is much more dangerous than the enemy without the country, outside of the country. They do just want to shut us down now. There's a book called The Death of Common Sense by Philip K. Howard. And Howard's an attorney. And attorneys are okay. Now, I know some of you caught my email that went out a while back, the Mass one. And I said that Shakespeare only got it half right. He said, well, first we kill all the attorneys, and then we kill all the psychologists. Now, that's I know that's going to be attributed to me because I'm saying it on the air, but it's actually a psychologist friend of mine who told me that. And what he said to me at the time was, John, that means you and me, because we're not doing the country any good at all. And I mentioned it to another psychologist. Immediately she jumped on it, embraced it, said, yes, you know, things are pretty bad. I really was hoping to have a show here in which we'd talk about psychological concepts, maybe even advanced ones, but I realize that it's kind of advanced, I guess, even for licensees. I'm not practicing as a psychologist. I don't know that I'll ever be able to do that again. As you heard on the outgoing thing, I called for the resignation of Governor Napolitano a while back. Well, the governor is, I think, a problem. But I think the problem's not limited to the governor's office. I think the problem's in society from one end to the other. You know, as I enter into contracts, little things come up that cause great disturbances. It's hard to enter into an agreement to see it come to fruition and be fulfilled properly without some sort of interference, some problem. And about 4 years ago, that was about half of the contracts went entered into. Today, it's a little bit more frequent, but I think that we have a country that's mentally ill. I mean, I think that we as a group, and that's why you're welcome to group therapy. And by tuning into this show, of course, the Dr. Kent Show, you are consenting to treatment here. Well, I think what we're going to have is education. In the last show, I mentioned a cure for schizophrenia. I didn't get a call. Okay, fine. I let the topic go. I didn't even complete what I was talking about. And I will meander and talk at this point and just do things kind of the way I want. I really advocate at this point that we shut this economy down. The economy's fine now. The system's broken, and unless we're willing to face that, nothing's going to change. And I think some of the books I mentioned will be helpful in that. Now, Ron Paul's The Revolution, a Manifesto. I guess a manifesto is a subtopic. I don't like that subtopic very much. I mean, it reminds me too much of Marx. And Marx's stuff was really pretty evil. I mean, it was so evil that even Marx's own two daughters committed suicide. They both formed suicide pacts with their husbands. One of the daughters and her husband successfully committed suicide together. And of the other two, the other daughter committed suicide, but her husband chickened out. Anyway, I think Marx's stuff was so evil that it's clearly published in another book that I have, that if Marx's entire set of works, and there's about 200 volumes of it, were made public, we'd have a totally different view of it. Only about 17 of those that are on the library in Moscow have been translated and been released to the public. So there's a lot of unwritten things, well, not unwritten, but untranslated, that have not been presented to the public yet. But Ron Paul's Revolution Manifesto, The Revolution, published in 2008. It's a quick read. I swear a good reader could read this in one sitting. It's well written. It's a good book. It describes the problems, and it also lets you know how hopeless it is for us to sit back with Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Mac and Moe, Obama and McCain running for office, neither one of them willing to address the elephant in the china closet. And now that I've made that association, you know, the China Association is a big one on this bailout. I was listening to a talk show late one night, and the guy was an expert in economics. That's not my area of expertise. And his claim was that the Chinese had sailed one over our bow. Actually, he said that the bailout was totally because the Chinese were threatening to dump all of those notes and bonds that they have on the market and crash our currency. And what he said, what his claim was that the Chinese were holding so many notes, and those banks and institutions of ours had ripped them off, and they were insisting we bail those institutions out so that they could pay the Chinese off. And if that's the case, if our president and the administration has blinked at this, it's nothing compared to what's coming. I mean, you know, in all, we have probably dictated the economic system for the world for way too long. It's a bad one. The system is broken. I think the economy's good. What I mean by that is I can buy gas today. I can buy food, medicine. Everything's relatively you know, the prices aren't that bad, but I don't think it's going to be that way a year from now. And this bailout is what's going to make it so rough. It was definitely a bad thing to be done. I'm going to advocate that people not buy things. I advocate that people pay off debts. And the reason why is because as debts are paid, those instruments have to fold in on one another, and we can get rid of some of this fiat currency and get the dollar some value. And besides that, if we don't stop those folks from their shenanigans, they're going to absolutely enslave us further. There's no telling what kind of disorder we could sink into if we let them continue. It's pretty bad right now. All right, folks, I'm going to catch you on the backside of this break. Give a call if you'd like. If not, I'm going to keep babbling on.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, Ph.D.
Welcome back to Group Therapy with Dr. Kent. I've written 3 books today, and I have one criticism on Randy Pausch's book, The Last Lecture. And there's only one solitary criticism I have, but it's an important one. And I couldn't find the area in the book. I'm going to have to reread it and take a look at it. I've got it dog-eared. I haven't marked it up very much. But he says that we owe our communities everything. We owe the community. But what he says is our rights come from the community. And that's not true. We live in a republic. And this is an important thing to learn. This is an important lesson. And this show is really, really about education at this point. What you got to know is we live in a republic, and in a republic, your rights come from God. Understand that. They don't come from the group. Sure, you're obligated to the community, but you're obligated to God. Now, a lot of folks don't like that at all, but the thing is, and the advantage is, that if your rights come from God, they're inalienable. They can't be taken away. The majority just can't vote away the rights of the minority. And that's an important thing in this country of ours. And Randy Pausch missed the whole thing. That's a big oversight in his book. The Death of Common Sense, How Law is Suffocating America by Philip Howard. This is a wonderful book. I bought this several years ago, and I didn't have a chance to read it until I got fired. I didn't get laid off. Let's be accurate about it. This book was published in 1994, and I probably bought it in 1996. You need to read this book. I mean, this is incredible. This attorney tells you exactly how law is suffocating America and how crazy it is. He gets into the legal system quite a bit. He gets into a lot of things, including the medical establishments, just a lot of stuff. It's just incredible. I mean, you know, some of the things that he covers just blow my mind. Now, there's one thing I want to bring up. And that is the phoniness of most of our institutions today in our society. And none of our organizations, especially the nonprofits, can be trusted. And I'm going to finger out the Susan Kahneman Foundation. Now, it had a candy bar. It was pink covered. The donation went to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation for those folks. Hey, it was chocolate, raspberry, something or other. It was okay, 20 grams of protein in it. I had to rush to get here, and I needed to have some nutrition. But here's the problem. You know, I'm on the, and I'll tell the story. Let me tell you a little story about this. I'm on the internet, on a listserv, and I'm kind of bragging about my little pink ribbon, my lapel pin, and how it, you know, looks good on a gray, camel hair jacket. Well, I was being kind of, I'll watch my language here, but I wasn't exactly being, well, I was being cocky. That's probably the nicest way I can say it. I would have said something much worse, but I'm not going to do that here. Anyway, I was being a little too cocky, and one of the nurses set me back on my ears. And, of course, this is a female, and she's telling me, you don't know anything about breast cancer or the foundations, and you certainly don't know. I'm going to take this call right now here. And this is Patty calling in from Phoenix, and we'll take that, and we'll get to my story in a minute. Welcome, Patty. How are you?
Hello, Dr. Kent. How are you?
Oh, I'm struggling along, but I'm doing all right.
Well, somehow, the last Saturdays, I think you were on a different station at first. I have found you in the radio, so evidently I need to hear what you have to say.
I was on another station at
another
time.
Okay, I thought you were. Okay,
yeah.
But you said the last statement that Randy had said in his book, that we owe the community.
Well, the problem with Randy's thinking, and I don't have the exact passage. I tried to find it during the break, and it really stood out. Randy's book's excellent. It's really good.
Well, I saw him. I've seen him talk. I haven't read his book yet.
Yeah, and the only problem was that I'm critical of everything I read. I mean, you can't agree with every book. If you agree with everything, well, then what happens? You know, we lose our sense of self, our own sense. But Randy's statement was that our rights came from the community and we're obligated to the community for those rights. But the problem with that thinking is that it's just a vote away to remove the rights if that's the case.
I know, and I see it getting so much closer and closer.
Yeah, which rights? What are you seeing?
Well, I work in the real estate business, and in the last year, I see everybody walking in the door. What are your incentives? How much are you going to give me? And that's all they want. They don't care. They expect something. Everybody expects us to give them something, and then now I see this in the people listening to the presidential candidates, and it's who's going to give them the most,
which
they have nothing to give.
Well, of course, the vote is, are you going to go with the guy who's promising you something for nothing and promising you the moon at that?
I know.
Or are you going to vote for the one who has a little bit of a semblance of responsibility?
I'm so sorry, but someone's coming into my work, so I need to let you go.
All right, thanks, buddy.
I will call back.
All right, thank you. All right, back to my story there. Thanks for the call, Patty. The fact is that, you know, here I was being kind of cocky, bragging about wearing this pink ribbon on my lapel like it, whatever, made me something. And I got set back on my ears. And what this individual told me about that foundation, I tossed the wrapper out. I was going to keep it so I could give you, you know, I think you know the name of it, don't you? The Race for the Cure. Well, what she told me was that her claim, this is a nurse who'd researched it, actually pretty formally told me that they limited the research dollars and focused those only on the genetic contributions towards breast cancer. All right, and I'm sitting back there thinking, okay, well, what's the big deal? And, you know, this is on a public, well, not a public listserv, but very, you know, there's 150 other participants on this. And I'm trying to save my face a little bit on it. And she finally told me it's because they won't allow research on lifestyle contributions, lifestyle factors, or on environmental factors. And I'm thinking, well, okay, what's the big deal? Well, so I asked her what the variances were on this stuff. And at the time, I was really pretty hot with statistics. I took extra stats course in graduate school. And so she gave me the figures. Summed them, added them together, and subtracted it from 100%. And I sat there flabbergasted. Why? Because they aren't allowing research into the biggest causes of breast cancer. And you know, I sat there and I realized, look, I've come up with genetic variants, genetic contributions, genetic factors contribute only 6% of the variants to breast cancer. It was split almost equally, 42-46%, to environmental factors and lifestyle factors. But here we have a nonprofit organization who's directing all of this research and saying, well, we're going to fund only research on the genetic contributions, genetic factors. And it angered me because that means that they're not being honest. I don't consider that honest. I don't know what you think of it. Anyhow, got another call here. I'm going to take Dan from Mesa. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Happy to be on the show. I heard you talking earlier about Obama, and I'm just enraged. I can't believe that, I mean, he wants to give 95% of the people a tax break, and they're supposed to believe that? Do they really think that 5% are going to be able to fund a tax break for the other 95%? That means one person has to buy lunch for 18.
That's a good analogy there. One person buying lunch for 18, I don't know, buying lunch for 4 is kind of a tough one for me right now. But as Patty said, people are walking in demanding things. They want things. And what we're going to get is much more slavery. I don't know how you feel about yourself in this society, but I feel like I'm just a sharecropper.
Well, I find that I pay for everything. I've worked hard. I've paid my way through school. I've done a lot of things. And I find that, you know, a good example is just what goes on at the public schools. My kids go to school. I pay for lunch. Everybody else has got a free lunch.
Well, that's what we're going to elect, is we think we're electing a free lunch, but what we don't realize is we're voting ourselves right into slavery. Our society, next year, this time, you won't recognize this place. I think Obama's going to win, and I think Obama's going to destroy not just our economy, but he's going to destroy the economies around the world. I really think that there's going to be – we already had food riots this spring. I think we're going to have food riots around the world. We're going to have famine. We're going to have starvation just due to the stroke of Obama's pen and our policy. Shakespeare said the world was not going to end with the sound of a gun, but with a stroke of a pen.
Well, I think he's right, and I think you're right on target. It's just a matter of time, and the time is short. We are a very fragile society. It doesn't take much to put us right into chaos.
It doesn't take much at all, and this could come apart so fast. I mean, for one thing, if the truck stopped rolling, how long do you think we'd be able to go to the store and buy food?
That's right. And we don't have, in the Great Depression, we had a sense of morality. We had a sense of honesty. I expect something for nothing. And so the people would work together and be poor. Now they'll just riot.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, at my gym, when I used to work out at, until that contract went astray, and actually they were ripping me off. That's another story. But the black fellows there told me that if Obama wasn't elected, there were going to be riots. Black people were going to riot. And so I had to ask him, what happens if Obama wins? And he says, well, we're going to riot anyway. Come on now. I mean, and so now we have a full brigade of military combat troops stationed in the country today as of October 1st. And that's all for, what, crowd control? I mean, what are they going to do with a brigade of troops? They're all, you know. We're going to be taking a break here, Dan, and I really thank you for the call. I've got to tell you about this book, The Death of Common Sense. I'm not making any money off this. I don't have any sponsors. We're in an economy in which people just don't have budgets for advertising at this point in time. I mean, I've got some great commercials in the background. They're pretty relevant, and I think that they're very, very good services, but... Well, I'm going to try to wind this up in the next segment, but give me a call. We've got four lines open.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, giving psychology away. Here now, Dr. Kent, PhD.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kent Show, and you're invited to group therapy with Dr. Kent this afternoon. My clocks look like we only have a few minutes left, about 9 minutes left, 10 minutes? Okay, all right. I was late. My laundry was more important, even vacuuming, which I left in the middle of, seemed more important today than the show. I'm real frustrated. What I'd like would be a benefactor right now. I mean, the next stage for me, if I'm going to be able to make this happen, is to get an internet presence. And I don't want to do that on my own. I've got a team of two people that I'd like to hire, but I need some money for that. And I don't have that. I put all my resources into this. And I'm a little bit scattered at the moment because there's so many things I want to pull upon to pull the show together. The nurse friend of mine who straightened me up regarding the Koneman Foundation, Komen, whatever it is, she told me that, I asked her, why is it that they only research the genetic contributions? I mean, it's only 6%. The rest of it's lifestyle. To give you an example, a person on SSRI medications, their risk of breast cancer goes up 700%. Okay? But we're not allowed to, you know, research that and tell you about that. I mean, I don't even know exactly how I found that out, but it's been quite a while since I've known that one. But the deal is, she said that the chemical producers of America were on their board of directors. That's why they run the way they do. Now, The Death of Common Sense by Philip Howard, How Laws Suffocating America is wonderful. And in this book, I learned about the EPA. I know we think the government's there to protect us, folks. We're the government, and we're here to save you. Oh, go away and leave us alone. The EPA has got 1,500 compounds that they've, and pesticides, okay? 1,500 pesticide compounds they've got to certify as environmentally safe. And they were found at, oh, I don't know, in the 60s, 70s sometimes. I guess, seeing how this is published in 94, by 92, they had been in existence probably 30 years. So they were in the 60s, I'm going to guess. And in this book, he tells me that of the 1,500, you know, pesticides, across a 30-year period, the EPA was only able to certify 29 of them. Folks, it's a shell game. We pretend the government's going to protect us. We create the EPA. We think they're going to protect us from what, these chemicals and the chemical producers of America? Heck no! Hell no, they aren't protecting us from them. And that's the death of common sense. Why even bother with a department of government that can't do their job, refuses to do their job? That's just one tidbit. There's a lot of other things in here. Like, did you know the sentencing grid has 268 blocks, and they don't sentence a man based on common sense, or rehabilitation, or, you know, trying to help an individual. They do it to harm the person as much as they can. Now, I really recommend reading the Revolution by Ron Paul. On Amazon, there were almost 700 reviews on this book. I think it gives you a good core sense of it. If you want to know how absolutely crazy it is, then go get The Death of Common Sense by Howard. I think if you want to get a little bit of help in your own life, get Randy Posh's book, The Last Lecture. Then if you absolutely want to get educated, get that book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I lent mine to my next door neighbor. I better get it back. It's marked up. It's my study copy. But that will explain to you so much more than what our politicians, you know, we can't even talk about the failed Federal Reserve and the failures of the system politically. You're not offered that question. I mean, the media controls us and tells us, okay, fine, do you think we ought to bump the interest rates up or drop them down? What should we do on that? Well, when you're worried about your money, folks, I got news for you. You don't have any money. There's no real money in this country. The currency that's circulating around is not legal tender. It may say it, but it's a fraud. It's never been made law. It's never been, you know, it's not in the Constitution. The Constitution is very specific as to what legal tender is. And I call for a return to the Constitution. And one of the nice things about the Jekyll Island book is that he says that if there were no debt, there would be no money. So my advocacy is this. Pay your debts. Pay off everything you can. Don't buy anything. Don't spend money. I paid the show up through the end of the year. I'm not going to be going out and recruiting sponsors actively. At the time I started this, the economy was pretty robust. And let me give you an idea of how robust this economy was. We've heard about there being a recession since what, last fall, a year ago? Well, in August, the figures were in for the first half of the year, and the adjusted figures, the accurate figures, showed an annualized growth rate for the first 6 months of this year at 2.7%. But what happened? What do you think happened? What happened is the system is broken, and this bailout that they just did, just to get us through the election, folks, and maybe to satisfy the Chinese so that they don't fight the economic war, which we will lose in a heartbeat if they want to fight it. And the Chinese and India will be dictating the terms of surrender and the terms of our enslavement, our servitude to them. They're doing it now. Our leaders just gave us away. If you think prices are high today, wait till the shakeout from all this money they forced banks to take. A lot of banks have reported they don't need the money. They don't want the money. They don't need to lend any money out there. But they're trying to force more loans. Because once there's loans out there, it multiplies as much as $29 for each dollar they create out of nothing. We've got to kill this beast before this beast kills us. So I'd love to talk psychology. I'd love to tout the cure for schizophrenia. I mean, how to treat it and how to fix it. I know how to do that. I mean, that's a boast, I know. But nobody calls, nobody's asking. That's not that important. Okay, fine. What we need to do is survive, though. Remember, what can you be grateful for today? Be satisfied and content with what you have today. And then if the things are really bad, then we go to the, what can I do without today? I mean, what can I get by through the day without? If you think that way rather than this impoverished attitude, and I've got a story of a guy I met at the Grand Bazaar over in Istanbul who gave me a little private lesson on what poverty was, but we'll cover that for another show. We'll be back next week. That's pretty certain. I'm going to keep this particular time. I'm hoping that I can get a couple of two-hour shows in to make up for the past losses. If you would like to be a sponsor of the show, I'll feature you. I'll welcome you. If you would like me to give a voiceover, I'll definitely entertain the thought. I mean, and I'll probably do that for you, especially if you can sell me on your product. I'm not a salesman. You know, I'm just what's left to a psychologist after this corrupt administration, the Napolitano administration, decides to use the board against me and decides to hide all those murders and deaths inside the Arizona Department of Corrections. Well, what a nice positive cheering note to end on, huh? God's got to be laughing up there, folks. He's really got to be kind of concerned, but he's got to have one heck of a sense of humor to have made us the way we are. I mean, you know, I mean, I can't help but laugh when I walk around the corner and find myself doing what I just criticized somebody else for doing. That's kind of crazy the way he created us, but, well, let's be grateful for the weather and what we have.